Welcome in to another episode of Your One Chi, Time for Your Energy. Time to dive into your personal energy matrix. What can make sense for you? What can help you as you go through your day and evening and into hopefully a deeply sleepful night? I'm Clara Apollo, your host here, and I am joined today by one of my colleagues and friends. Haroon Rabbani is back in the One Chi hot seat. Welcome back again, Haroon.
Thank you for having me back, Clara. I obviously haven't upset you enough for you to say no more. So thank you for having me back, of course.
No, it's always wonderful speaking with you about energy matters, because indeed, do you want to let listeners know where you come from, what it is you're doing, and how come you've ended up on the show? Yes.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been coerced, blackmailed to come on the show. Let's get that bit out of the way. But in terms of my background, I mean, we're all energy, clearly. My interest in energy happened from when I was about 16, actually, when I saw our master in Kung Fu, Lao Ga, Jeremy Yao. Now, this is a competition in 1986, so it goes to show my age. And it's his competition. There's like a couple of thousand people there. And I saw two of the heavyweight black belts do their final fight, and one of them got knocked out. When he got knocked out, the master went behind him. He had him sitting upright somehow. He was still out unconscious. And he did something energetically to his neck, just touch him some point. Suddenly the guy wakes up. I thought, oh my God. So that's where my interest in energy started. But it turns out, many fast forwarding, having worked in the medical industry for nearly a decade, fast forwarding. So only 7-8 years ago, I discovered that actually I'm descended from a lineage of Sufi masters and healers. I learned that from my dad. He's not a talker, so when I asked him, he told me, and I thought, this is why people come to my clinic, even the skeptics who think that I'm the final choice kind of thing for whatever issue they've got. They come to my clinic, they sit down, they used to tell me things like, oh my God, whatever it is you're doing, it's working. And they've just sat down, and I haven't sat down properly, I haven't done anything. I'm thinking, hold on, what am I doing? And the truth is, we are the energy that they are seeking. We ourselves, when we are coherent within ourselves, we have an impact on people's lives. We can go into that more later. But in essence, what I do now today, I run a clinic. I do my shows, of course, on YouTube, and I work with people, particularly with chronic health diseases. That means they've got issues that the doctors can't help. So they come to people like me, and they realize, hey, wake up call, you've got to take responsibility.
Ooh, there's that word.
Responsibility for your own health, because the pills ain't going to help. So here I am, helping as best as I can to educate, inform, to inspire, maybe even entertain people.
Yeah, definitely inspire and entertain, but also to share this energetic principle that we're working with here. This truth of the energy behind everything. This is something that fascinates me, and I'm a Qigong teacher and have been fascinated by energy since I used to be a nurse. I was originally trained as a nurse, but it wasn't working for me. There was something more. It's not just the physical. And here on the show, we're going to be looking at essential energy practices for self-care. That is mental, physical, emotional, energetic, the whole nine yards, because we're not different compartments, although we do need to consider the different compartments, but how do we weave these different aspects of ourselves? I mean, it's fascinating, isn't it? And I think a lot of the stress that's around right now is the being pulled in different directions within ourselves.
We're like a jigsaw puzzle. And if you allow the jigsaw to be in its natural state, everything dovetails into everything else. Mm. And what's happening when we talk about stress, we really talk about distress, because stress is not such a bad thing. So we're talking about distress, really. And so when we're being distressed, it's like we're being pulled apart in all sorts of directions. And what most people do is they might have a problem with their head or something like that, like a headache or something. And they'll focus on that little jigsaw piece, which is to do with the head, not realizing that it may be related to something totally different going on in their body, in their energy field. So this is what stress is really. The kind of stress we're talking about here is the type that's pulling us apart or crushing it together. because we just have forgotten the ways, the ancient ways of being in a coherent state
Yes,
within
yes.
ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely with you. You say they're ancient ways, they're sort of natural ways within us. And as you were speaking about, you know, the compression or the being pulled in all these ways, where is the space? Where do you give yourself space? You know, it's like, oh, do I ever do that? I mean, you and I do because of the practices we have. And is this something that, you know, the stresses that you had in your life before you got into energy work, what are the practices that you particularly have found when you first came into energy work that helped you with your de-stressing?
Well, I'll tell you, I grew up in a stressful environment, so I was born into that. Well, actually, no, I wasn't born into that. First 4 years, I was in Bangladesh, but coming to England at the age of four and a half, the stresses were there, poverty, racism, all that kind of stuff. And then you got school, and I was working for my father full time, 7 days a week from by the age of 12. So you got all that going on. But really, when you don't know, you don't know. This is key. You might be burning up in a fire, but if that's all you've known, that you get burned, that's all you know. If you've only known racism, if you've only known stress. And so fast forwarding that into adult life, the body can't cope as well. It was okay in my 20s, but then when you're on your own, it's okay, you can get away with it. Then you get married. Ooh, you might be able to handle, I know I can handle a huge amount of stress, but what about your partner, your wife? And so the biggest stressor that really got the better of me was my divorce. And at that point, the only thing I would do before then was maybe go to the gym pretty regularly, maybe go running. The problem is they're good for you. You need that. However, they don't de-stress you. It's another form of stress. You're not breathing. You've got your sympathetic nervous system working, weight training, gym. I don't do Zumba classes, but Zumba classes and stuff like that. So it was only when I hit real rock bottom post-divorce, it devastated me. But I went to the gym and there was this it was like a Tai Chi Qigong integrated with yoga class. And I have to say, it saved my life. It saved my sanity. Because here's the magic word, which I know you're going to touch upon anyway. The magic word was I learned how to breathe. Keep in mind, at that point in time, I was extremely successful in my business, not my business, in my career. I was working in medical devices. I was number one. I was making loads of money. I had everything on paper looked great. I was physically fit. So you can look good, you can have good money coming in. But the reality is when you ignore the most important elements of self-care, then you start seeing other parts of your life starting to fall.
Well,
to pieces, and later on everything fell to pieces after that. But what kept me alive, because I was suicidal and depressed by then, was actually the breath work, the movement work, and it was actually, they called it Thai yoga or something, which is like an amalgamation, a bit of Qigong practice, a bit of Tai Chi and a bit of yoga, but it saved me.
Wow. And I mean, there are the crossovers between Tai Chi, Qigong and yoga. And in fact, all of the kindful practices all have the breath work at their center. And if you think about it, our breathing is totally central to us, because without it, we're gone in a couple of minutes. You know, we don't get long to survive without breath. So I think this is why all practices bring us back to this awareness of your breath. And as you're sitting here or driving along listening to this, just noticing how you're breathing, just bringing your awareness to your breath. And that shifts it, doesn't it? Because the observer affects the field. So you may notice you're feeling a bit anxious when you're breathing. Just, I would say, bless your breath. Just thank you for this gift of life. Thank you for this amazing, miraculous body that can receive the bountiful air and then express it, you know? And that acknowledgement, first of all, of the appreciation of your breath is big, but if it makes you feel better about yourself by you're stepping into your power again, you're reclaiming the power of acknowledging your breath. And this can send this ripple of appreciation throughout your whole system, So it comes back to this self-responsibility. How do I look after myself? And what are the most effective, simple ways that I can bring into my everyday life? Because we haven't always got time to go to a class or tune in with something. But so is the breath. Breath's definitely the first one, really, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Then, and you know, in my career in medical devices, I worked with some of the best doctors in the world, particularly to do with gastroenterology. So endoscopy, which is bums and tums, tubes down into your tum, or
all right.
That
yeah,
one.
We get the picture.
You get the point. Okay, good. And so obviously when you get tube inside your body, you want the person manipulating the tube to be true masters. But the truth is, on average, most of them are just average. However, I've got to work with the best of the best.
Mm.
Here's what I noticed with the best of the best. Number one, they were humble. They were, although I was a newbie, I was only in my 20s, they were happy to learn from me. Number two, they were also great teachers as a result. But number three, relating back to that, they took their time. They weren't rushing. That means they were breathing. You know, I'll give you a real life example. So Dr. Venk Mani, who worked in Lee Infirmary in near Wigan, he was one of the best colonoscopists I ever met. Now, most other surgeons, doctors, physicians I came across who did colonoscopies, and I saw plenty, would take anything between 35 to 45 minutes, and the patient will be in a lot of pain. And the doctors were all agitated and frustrated as well, and they were worried. Venk Mani, Indian doctor, absolutely phenomenal. We've timed it so many times, 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes. And I would observe not just what he's saying, but what he was doing and how calm, relaxed. He knew exactly what he wanted. He said, I asked him, why is it that none of your patients suffer from pain? You hardly take any time. He says, very simple. I take my time. The colon is like, for me, it's like putting a hand into gloves. You've got to put them in properly and gently to put them on fully. And all I do is use my camera work on the way back to see whatever I need to analyze, diagnose, and so on. But again, if you notice all the masters across any field, engineering, physics, astronomy, you name it, what do? They take their time. Take their time isn't about time.
Yes.
It's about they pause to breathe, to reflect, to be mindful. And this, and then if you look at those people who are stressed, what are they doing? They're talking 1,000 miles an hour and they've got 1,000 things happening all at the same time. And are they even taking their time to breathe?
Love it. Haroon Rabbani is here with me on One Qi on UK Health Radio. We're talking about essential energy practices for effective self-care. And we're in the breathing realm again, not surprisingly. And this is I say not surprisingly, because this is something when it comes to all de-stressing practices, the breath is always there. And the breath is always with you while you're still here. So it's something you can always access for yourself wherever you are. And it brings you back into your power. And what I'd like to offer here is this observation of allowing the breath to breathe you. So it's an automatic response of your body. It's a biochemical response, isn't it? You know, the blood levels of oxygen and carbon dioxide. So trusting your body to breathe for you. So taking the effort out of breathing. That's been a big game changer for me, Haroon.
Well, you know, as you said that, it just reminds me of some of the meditation practice I take my students through. One of them is getting them to understand, rather than you breathing air in and out, think of it this way. Think of the universe breathing you in and out. So when the universe breathes you in, you are breathing out, so your air is leaving your lungs. And when the universe breathes out, they are putting air into your lungs. When you do that, universe ain't going to rush for you. It's not rushing. It's not. It's expanding. It's not going anywhere. It is going anywhere. It's going everywhere. But it's in no rush. And so when you allow the universal breath to breathe you, you'll slow you down. And we can measure this. I've got a tool here, which I won't open up, but I've got a tool here BioWell device, which has been developed by Professor Konstantin Korotkov. Now, that device allows me to see the energy state of every single organ and system in your body.
Wow.
And those people who are in a, how can I say, not so healthy state,
Yeah.
out of balance, one of the ways, and I've tested it so many times, one of the ways I get them to get back into balance, the easiest way is actually to get them to practice some, there and then, practice some breathing techniques. I'll take them through the process, doesn't
Yeah.
take long, only a few minutes, then I'll measure again. And what you see is they start getting more coherence in the readings, more harmony, more homeostasis. So it's simple to take breathing for granted.
Yeah.
In the UK, we have free school education system. Like, well, we have options to pay for it as well. We do it through taxes, but generally, we have a free education system. And if you're from England or UK or any other country where you get free education, you notice kids kind of like reluctantly go to school, and it's more of a social thing with their mates. Now, I helped build a school in Sierra Leone at the time by definition, by the United Nations definition, UN Human Index. It was the poorest country in the world. And the level of reverence the children and the adults have for education in back then in Sierra Leone was off the scale. It's like you're giving them gold dust to them. Here's why: they don't have it. Now, go to an emphysema patient, someone who's got major lung issues, and tell them they can breathe again, but they need to express gratitude. Go to somebody who's having their last breath and tell them what would happen if they got a chance to breathe again. So if you go that opposite direction, now come back to yourself. Tell me, how important is your breath to you?
Beautiful. Oh, that was reminding me of days when I was a staff nurse on a long ward, and there was exactly that. There was the emphysema patients who realized how lucky they were when they were in a bed next to someone with terminal cancer, and it's that appreciation of what you already have, and the wisdom and the nurturing of this of the self-care. Because your wise system knows how to heal you. I mean, that's always been such a like, wow, I'm a self-healing unit. And it all starts with how your relationship to the breath, doesn't it? And this is why we constantly remind, I say constantly remind each other, because we all need reminding. I need reminding. I get quite excited and forget about the space in between. But when I'm gently reminded to come back in, there it is. It's like a compassionate friend that's waiting at the center of me to help me take care of myself. So I loved when you were talking about the universe breathing you. That was so beautiful. And when you think about the universe being full of space, and indeed around you now, you've got space. And so when we breathe in, we breathe space in. So it's all there already for us to gather and to partake and to, acknowledge and play with.
So last night I was my partner and I were looking stargazing. We're just walking out
Oh,
there. We
it's
live
gorgeous, isn't it?
in a village in the middle of the country in England, and we don't have major issues with light pollution. There
Yeah.
aren't that many street lamps, and we're looking. You're not able to see these stars in the sky properly in London, in Birmingham, and when you're out in the country like this, you see the stars. You realize that how many dots there are. Now, there's me looking at the stars, and I've got this app. It's called Sky
Yes,
something or other,
I've got one.
which tells me the constellations and stars. And I'm looking at that, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, look how beautiful, how vast these planets are, and our planet is. And people are stressing over, oh, I haven't got the right shoes. Oh, I've got the wrong clothes. What if I fit in? What if she says this? Hey, what if he says that? What if people don't like me? Oh my goodness, you and I are barely a scratch on the surface of the scratch of the scratch of the surface of the scratch, ad infinitum. Because the truth be told, we are so blessed to be this micro scratch. Why the heck are we wasting our time filling our heads with everything else? Why is it that we don't watch the stars and go, hey, let's create space. A friend of mine, Nassim Haramein, he's a physicist. He came to the, I actually brought him to England for the first time. He did a talk for me 12 years ago now, I think. And we were talking, we had this conversation about thoughts. And he was saying, if you look at an atom, a couple of things. If you look at an atom, 99.9% recurring is non-matter, empty space. But in that empty space is energy, it's consciousness. And he says, if I was to translate this into layman terms, the matter, which is the very minuscule, is the stuff. But the non-stuff, which is 99.999 recurring, by the way, not just 90%, 99.999. That is the mind of God. In this talk that he did, he was showing scientifically that the energy field of a proton, so we're talking about subatomic particle, the potentiality of that proton is equivalent to the energy of the universe. So he said, the kingdom of heaven indeed lies within. We have this power.
We
Oh my God.
do.
And because we're so, I will not swear, because we are so caught up in the madness of everything else and the minutiae of the nothing that's out there, we never, very few people get to access it.
Haroon Rabbani is here with me on Wanshi. We're talking about essential energy practices for self-care, and we've just really got into the breathing space here, and I'm loving how you're unpacking the different elements of the breath and the space of this key spaciousness piece. And I'd like to go to a track now, actually, because we're halfway through the show. And this is in honor of Barefoot Doctor, whose birthday is on Monday the 13th. So this show will go out live on the Saturday beforehand and then be available on demand, as indeed all our shows are available from UK Health Radio. But yeah, looking at the stars in the sky often, because Barefoot Doctor's not with us anymore, and I often sort of think of his wisdom that is still here on the planet, the legacy that he's left us. And this is a collaboration that Barefoot Doctor did with the Skull Bandits, because he was a musician as well, so he was like working with interesting collectives. Skull Bandits, interesting name, but actually this is a beautiful track and it's called Breathe, and it's actually one of the ones that I use when I go on my power walks around the Somerset Level. So enjoy this, Barefoot Doctor and Skull Bandits with Breathe, and we'll come back with Haroon Rabbani on the other side of this.
The air is still. With sunlight all around. It goes on forever and ever. In all directions.
That is Barefoot Doctor with Skull Bandits and his gorgeous track Breathe. I hope you've enjoyed that here on One Chi Time on UK Health Radio with me, Clara Apollo, and I'm here with my guest Haroon Rabbani. And just before that track, Haroon went all subatomic on us. We were getting into the space and the atom, and then we were also talking about the universal space, and I was thinking about the macrocosm and the microcosm and how it's all connected, how we're all connected. And we're told this, and there's research to show it, but how do we actually live from that place of acknowledging that which is inside us is also that which is part of the whole bigger whole?
Is that a question to me?
Yeah. Or maybe it's a rhetorical one to all of us to consider.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things I noticed is for a longest time, especially having done martial arts, is when you observe the state of somebody's being, the way they walk, the way they stand, the way they move, it gives you an indication about so much about them. So I'd like to come on to that a bit later on. So a bit of a teaser there. By the way, people are, very simple saying, how you practice your movement work, like Qigong, like yoga, indicates how you practice the rest of your life.
I was going to say that. How you do anything is how you do everything. Can I also add how you be anything is how you be everything. So I'm, as you know, if you've listened to the show before, I'm really playing with the do and the be and the do be dance, and how much doing do we think we need to do, or actually if we drop into being, we are already enough. So it's interesting, isn't it? So how do you be with yourself in your own space? Do you even give yourself that? Do you realize how important it is for yourself?
Well, so, if you do too much doo-doo stuff, then, you know, who wants to be near doo-doo, right? And if you're being all the time, being, buzzing, then you'll be buzzing. So absolutely 100%. Now, coherence. What's going on in the outside world? You know, there's a lot of stuff that's happening all the time. Mm-hmm. I can't control what's going on in your mind. I can't control your behavior. But the truth is, we get triggered by what others say, what others do. How the whole, we won't necessarily go into this, the whole thing about the vaccinations and the politics going on and Brexit and, you know, Obama, and then you got whoever the last president, Trump, and all that kind of stuff. We get triggered all the time. Here's the challenge. Where are the triggers? If you see something happen and you get triggered, where are those triggers?
We've let it happen to ourselves.
It's within, right?
Yeah.
It is within. We want a better world. A, that person out there, those people out there, the economy, the religious institution, whatever, the government, none of them have an influence on your trigger. Only you can control them. Now, this is, I'm very mindful we don't jump into conspiracy territory, only because I'm very science-based with it, or even my Sufi stuff. Yes. So if you look at a trigger, here's what I noticed. Within the first 7 years of your life, 99% of all the triggers that you're going to be triggered later on in life already formed. In the first 7 years of life. Now, here's what I find with clients coming to me. I look at their issues. They tell me, they usually talk about their symptoms. But then I want to backtrack and say, okay, let's see what happened in your childhood. And so when we get triggered by what's going on in the outside world, I'm not saying there's wrong or right. We're not going there. What I'm saying is the emotional charge is inside of you. So if you're being triggered and you're angry, hello, drink poison, it's the same thing, and try to hurt the others.
Okay, so this is bringing it back to the breath. So if we're looking at self-care practices for when we get triggered, and we know it's our responsibility, and it's almost like the triggeree, you can thank them, because a lot of the things that we get triggered, we don't want to look at. So when we are triggered, we go, oh, there's that trigger. So you breathe into that space again, kindness and compassion to yourself. I'm just being triggered from an old pattern that was set down when I was a kid. But there's also new patternings going on, and we can get into this contentious arena of like what's going on with the psychological warfare at the moment. And the, I think all adults are being exposed to a certain degree of that, where your mind does not seem to be your own anymore, you know, and there's a lot of, yeah.
Well, you know what, Clara, the trouble is, I'm going to just say it outright, say it straight. The trouble is people don't want to take responsibility. Now, here's why. Everybody wants freedom. Who doesn't, right? Everybody wants freedom. But psychologists have discovered that if you give people too many choices, i.e. freedom of choice, mm-hmm. real freedom of choice, it makes people anxious. It makes them stressed. So those people, this is from scientific experiments, those people would prefer somebody else make the choice for them. In other words, they want to abdicate their responsibility because it's making them anxious. The reason people get anxious, say, for example, I grew up in Sunderland from the age of 12 to 18. For UK listeners, you'll understand this word. I won't say it, but I used to get word, P word. So if you're Indian subcontinent, there's a particular racist word. It's like the N-word for Africans, African-Americans. I used to get called that. Never got offended. Here's why. I didn't resonate with it. Resonance means you're on the same frequency as the person spouting out whatever nonsense. In other words, at some level, they're triggering something that you believe, whatever that P-word meant for me. I'm not talking about anyone else. I'm just talking about me. Mm-hmm. How other people respond, it's their business, none of mine. For me, it was, okay, I'm Bengali, I'm not that.
Nice.
It doesn't make sense to me. Now, what I also understood was, at the age of 12, I moved from Birmingham, which is a very multicultural, multi-religious, multi-ethnic city, you know, all sorts of people, all sorts of backgrounds, to Sunderland, the school that I went to, Bede Comprehensive, where I was the only person of colour.
Really?
Yeah, only person of colour. And these kids had never met, most of them, anyone of colour at that time, 1982. And so I'd have some kids come up to me, angry with me. They'd never met me. Swear and appear. So I'm like, hold on. You don't know me enough to be angry. If you get to know me, then you get really peed off. But no. So you haven't met me and you're angry. And I thought to myself, those feelings must be going on in their head. Now, I used to have an anger issue myself. And that was and got me into a lot of trouble at that age. But I didn't get angry with them because I thought, knowing my own anger, I know that means they're angry with themselves 24 hours a day. I don't need to punish them. They're doing a better job than me. If I punish them, if I argue with them, I've just given them fuel to justify their anger. I'm like, okay, no problem.
Yeah, you've brought up a really good point here, haven't you, around we beat ourselves up from old patterning, from how our parenting, our nurturing, our schooling, our society, it feeds into this disempowerment, this abdicating responsibility, because it could sound like, oh, you've got to take responsibility for yourself, but that's the freedom. If you know that you've got to where you are right now through all the choices that you've made, some good, some not so good, at least you know you've had choices, and that means you can make more choices. And so it's looking at what you can actually trust about yourself and how you can take care of yourself well, so that you have got your best interest at heart, because only you has got your best interests at heart. No one else, you can't abdicate that.
100%. And, you know, we can go on for hours on this one, but I think I feel I need to go with this one, on this one, which is this. When you know yourself, so back to the racist situation when I was a kid, I'd be mindful that there might be violence, and I was always ready. But I wasn't stressed and anxious by those language, that kind of horrible language. And so because I knew who I was. Now, here's the thing. If you know who you are, if you know what you stand for, then you will never fall, or it's not easy for you to bring you down. If you don't know what you stand for, you fall for anything. good or bad. So the question is, how do you get to know yourself when you've got so many choices? First of all, what does choices usually mean? It's head-based stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Options.
When you got too many options, yeah. And we really have. And so to keep people in their head, we'll come back to that. Remind me, how do we get people to stay in their head? So what you do, you drop down in your body. Straight away, going back to breath, if a situation arises, say you meet someone, and even before speaking, you notice your breath and you're like breathing like an anxious person or excited person, you know something's going on there. And this is to do with energy. This is to do with life force. On the other hand, you meet somebody else and just in their presence, you're like calm. Mm. Then that means that's also good for you. Straight away, you listen to your body. When you pick up some food, you go shopping, and friends of mine have done this for me. They say, Harun, this is good for me. What I'll do is they'll say, is this cabbage or that chicken or whatever? You know, sorry, vegans. Is that good for me? And I'll say, well, that one, cabbage, that one doesn't feel right. That one does, because the vibration coming out of that, I feel it with my body.
Yes, you do, don't you? And it's to trust that instinct before the mind kicks in and goes, logic, 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 no, no, no. And as you were saying about dropping into your breath and into your body, I was getting head, heart, belly, because that's very Qigong, isn't it?
Yeah.
The three Dan Tien. And to remember you've got these antennas within you, these places of instinctual information that you can take your question to and feel it, not think it, feel it, and you will get the right.
Clara, I'm going to give you a piece of magic, which for those of you who don't know, this will blow your mind. Now, you've got your head brain, of course. For those of you who understand, you probably possibly have heard of the heart brain. Let's talk about the gut brain.
Oh, yes.
The gut has a mind of its own. You've got 100 million neurites, so they're like, you know, nerve cells, operating independently of the brain. And they give instruction to each other and they give instruction to the brain. So here's what happens. When you drop down, say if it's food or a drink, when you drop down into your gut, into your Dantian area, guess where the gut is? If you drop down into there and you feel, does this feel good? Or does this not feel good? How do you know you feel good? You're going to be relaxed. You're going to be calm. How do you know it doesn't feel good or it's not right for you? It could be right for somebody else. Your gut is giving you specific instruction that this item of food, this being with this person, going down this alleyway, going down this road, buying this item of clothing, your gut is telling you yes or no.
And it's truthful. It can't lie to you. It's like the heart can't lie to you. And so as you're saying that, this dropping into your gut, I mean, how does that feel to let your awareness just drop into your belly? Because I bet your awareness doesn't drop there very often. And it's central to Qigong practice to become curious about this area and to relax your abdominal wall. Yeah, you don't have to hold your belly in all the time, you know. And just now, letting your belly relax and feeling how that shifts your breathing and how that encourages you to become more in your body so that your mind becomes involved with your body. It's not one or the other. They're a team, remember? We're talking at the beginning. How do we get all this team of mind, body, spirit to actually work harmoniously? And this is a really key one, letting the mind drop into the belly, into that sensitivity of truth that's there to help guide you through this melee and chaos that's happening in the world. This truth barometer, belly, heart, breath, beautiful.
Absolutely gorgeous. So, you know, I would definitely, for you to navigate your life, well, we're going through the most tumultuous time in human history, other than wars, of course, because it's on such a grand scale. Mm. Now, I'm not saying who's right or who's wrong, but I will say this. Pay attention to what goes on in your heart and your body, not your head, in your heart, your body, your gut. Pay attention when you're watching the news. when you're hearing medical advice. I'm not saying you shouldn't listen to medical advice. I'm saying when you're hearing it, just pay attention. I'm not saying I'm right about what I recommend or don't recommend. It's up to you. My point is this. Pay attention. Notice which one of those forms of medium, it could be us, you know, which ones are taking you into your head and getting you to occupy your head, which ones are keeping you in a state of fear, state of shame. Keep this in mind. State of shame, guilt, fear, blame, those things, blame, shame, guilt. When you're in those states, you are, speaking in terms of consciousness, you are very easy to manipulate, to coerce, to deceive, to lie to. But guess what? That only happens when you're in your head. When you're in your heart is your portal to your soul. It is portal to multiple dimensions. Mm-hmm. Your heart never lies. And as Clara said, your gut. Now, your gut, in mystical terms, is your communication tool with other souls. So your heart, your own soul, your gut with other souls. Mm-hmm. So guardian angels, all that kind of stuff. So that's where your gut comes in. Your gut doesn't lie. Your body doesn't lie.
No, it doesn't.
So be mindful of those beings, organizations, institutions, etc., which are constantly keeping up, getting into your head. Resonance is all about when you have two frequencies that match.
Yes.
So when you're in a state of shame, blame, guilt, that kind of stuff, then what kind of frequency do you think you're going to match up with? When you're in a state of inner peace, coherence, knowing who you are, what you stand for. This is what I love, mm-hmm. Qigong and yoga, but Qigong in the context of just standing there. Just standing there. You know, one of the things you can do is just stand on one foot, right? Put the other foot either next to the ankle or raise it up, whatever, just one foot, and then close your eyes. You will find most people will lose balance. The reason they're losing balance is they're not coherent within themselves. So that, I, by the way, I do that. From time to time, I just check my balance. I just stand on one foot, close my eyes. I might do a tree pose or something. Close my eyes and see if I can stay still or how long I can stay still for. If I topple over, I know I've got work to do that day.
Well, because the mind is such a long way away from the point of action, which is the soles of your feet. And as you know, with the Qigong practice, I'm always going on about your connection to the earth beneath you. Because when the physical body feels safe, the heart is able to then open and you're then able to access your spiritual nature more. But this is why it's so important for all of us to take care of our physical bodies, because then it helps our minds have a steady place to live and inhabit and not to be reaching for other people's opinions. It's like, how do I feel about this? Not necessarily what do I think about this, but how do I feel about this?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we make all your life right this moment in time, the state of your life, your health, your wealth, your relationships, or everything bar none, is a result of all the micro decisions you have made across your lifetime. So, for example, if you go to the gym now for the first time, tomorrow you will not walk out looking like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No.
You're going to have to go in there a few times and take some steroids and so on. But it takes time. It's an accumulation.
Yes.
So, which means that if, say, you started Qigong a week ago, a month ago, if you started your practice and you're saying, oh, I'm not seeing results. Hello, look at your age. It's 2 months ago you started, and see how long you've been doing Qigong. So take a reality check. Yes.
Actually, I'm going to pull you up on that, because most people, when their first session of Qigong blows them away, mainly because of their earth connection, of actually getting into a connection with the earth that they've never experienced to that depth before. Mm. Sorry, I've had this, people said this to me so many times. So that's the first thing that they get. But this cumulative effect of building your vitality stores, that does take time and consistent practice and effort. But anyway, Haroon, we've run out of time on this episode.
Oh, my goodness. I thought we had another 3 more hours.
Well, we were, as the months unfurl, we will see you again in October. So till then, how can people find out more about you and come and play in your world?
Okay, so the Best place to find me is either on my YouTube channel, just type in my name, Harun Rabbani, Energy Healing Podcast, or Instagram, or Facebook. I have my website, but I've got different websites for different people. So if you want to generally follow me, go onto Instagram, because I'm making a bit of an effort there. Facebook, Harun Rabbani 528, says Facebook.
I see what you've done there. Yeah. So would you like to just spell your name for listeners, please?
Yes, H-A-R-U-N. R-A-B-B-A-N, in for November, HarunRabbani.com. Oh, that's my website as well.
Brilliant. There's only one of you. Like, there's only one of you listening as well. So, indeed, if you want to find out more about what I get up to with the Qigong, it's ClaraApollo.com or the Qiki Temple over on Facebook. That's Q-I-K-I Temple. We've got a very funky thing starting next month, which I will cannot wait to share with you, how to encourage you more to turn onto your chi and really get this deep resource to work for you and on behalf of the world that we are co-creating together. So until next time, I have got another track to play for you. And what we've been doing at the end of the shows recently is been finding cover versions of old classics. And I've got a real corker for you here. This is, you know, the track by Pink Floyd off Dark Side of the Moon called Breathe. Yeah, you know, that really beautiful track, absolutely stunning. Well, I've got a version of it by the Easy Star All-Stars that I would love to share with you. And as I said before, if you want to listen again, all our programs are on demand via the UK Health Radio website, ukhealthradio.com. We'll be back in next week with some more Qigong chat or Qifu chat. And as I said, Harun will be back with us in a month. So thank you again for being part of One Qi Time on UK Health Radio, Harun Rabbani.
Thank you so much, Lara Apollo, for having me as your guest or co-discussion person.
Yes, exactly. Go well, my friend. Take care of yourself and one another, and we'll be back soon. Here's this glorious track, Breathe, by the Easy Star All-Stars. Thank you so much for listening. You fly.